Welcome to the Creatives Experience Podcast, hosted by yours truly, Isaac Whedon. On each episode, I will be speaking with artists and bringing you in on their life, faith, and creative experience. I'm excited for you to be joining us today. Thank you for listening. So without further ado, let's get to it. Hey guys, thanks so much for tuning into this week's episode of the Creatives Experience Podcast. I'm very delighted to have a guest on that many of you have been requesting. His name is Jonathan Ogden. I've had the privilege of not only listening and being blessed by his music, but also being on tour with him actually this summer, which was super, super cool. Him and Rivers and Robots, and I had the opportunity to play with Montel and Ecclesia. It's really been a pleasure to just spend a little bit of time with him. So I'm very excited that we get to spend the next 60 minutes or so talking with him and just getting to know him better so you guys can get an idea of what God has been doing in his life over the last few days, weeks, and years. But before we jump into that, I have yet to do any advertisements on the podcast. So please bear with me as this is something new that I want to try. Woo! All right, perfect. And now let's continue with the one and only Jonathan Ogden. Thanks for joining me today, bro.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man. It's good to be on the podcast.
It's a privilege to have you. You are tuning in from where in England?
Manchester in the UK.
Ooh, look at that. Man, it's so cool. I still can't get over the fact that we're living in a time now where, you know, you just hit a button and I'm looking at you and we're talking and we're on two different sides of the globe. It's a beautiful thing. And I'm just very excited to let people hear what is on your heart, man, because you're a very humble man, and God's been really opening up a lot of doors. And I really believe the major cause of the opportunities is because of your humility, you're willing to serve. And I know you take this humbly, as I tell you right now.
Thank you.
But really though, man, it's really awesome to see people who have been finding success within music, within creative journeys. And I mean, you do a lot of different things. You do visuals and so many things. I'm very impressed.
Jack of all trades.
That's right. It's good. And the reason I believe that you have found success is because of your not only willingness to serve, but the way you humbly approach these things. So I just want to applaud you with that, as I've been encouraged as a fellow brother in Christ.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
So right now you have been meticulously working on a really, really dope project. And for someone who loves not only your music, but also the genre of, I guess, specified music that is in this album. If you can, for those who have yet to hear about it or even hear the first two singles out of the album that you're dropping, it's a massive, massive project. Please shed some light on the 24 album.
Yeah, so I started thinking about this concept almost a year ago. And basically, I'd been making a lot of instrumental tracks and electronic music. And actually, electronic music is actually more familiar to me than some of the stuff I've done more recently. Like the very first music I made when I was like 14, 15 was all like techno remixes and like electronic stuff.
I gotta say, I have, when I looked at your older stuff, I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
This guy likes house music and stuff. It's dope.
Yeah. And my older brother is a DJ as well. So I kind of grown up in that environment. So,
wow.
Yeah, very kind of familiar with electronic. But I think I've always kind of had little bits of it in the music, and in Rivers and Robots, that's kind of been part of the theme. But this project is like fully electronic. And so, it started by just a way of collecting all these beats that I'd been making. And like we run a YouTube channel and I used to make just instrumental like lo-fi beats to use in backgrounds of videos, that kind of stuff. And then people started asking me, can they get that music anywhere and could they listen to it? And I was like, oh, I've never really thought about releasing beats as a thing. and so, yeah, I kind of set off, and I always like to have a concept. Like a while back I did the Seasons EPs. So it was just a chance to try out like four different genres based on the four seasons in a year. So I kind of got thinking about what would be a good concept for a beat tape or a way of collecting like a lot of different tracks together. And came up with this idea of 24 beats based on the 24 hours in a day. So, and again, it was like a chance to just try out different styles of music. So the daytime stuff is a bit more like upbeat. kind of like, yeah, kind of lo-fi chilled stuff. And then as it gets towards the evening, it gets more like drive-in, I guess traditional dance music.
Wow, that's cool, man. I'm excited to hear that difference in the hours. Wow.
Yeah. And then like the middle of the night gets really ambient and like weird piano music and just like interesting textures. So it's been a lot of fun. But it's actually been a crazy journey of just literally starting it with this idea of like, let's just collect some beats. And I feel like God's actually taught me so much just through doing this. And like, I only maybe like 3 months ago just kind of sat back and realized, okay, this is like an actual project. Like there's like some real songs coming out of it that are some of my favorite stuff that I've written. And like just God showed me a lot of things through the process of actually even just being aware of like the uniqueness of different times of day, and just seeing like the way that God's present in every moment, and learning to like recognize God's presence in every moment. And that's a lot of the themes that kind of come up through the project. But I recently came back from, I can't remember if it was an America trip or Japan. It was one of the two. But I remember literally like lying in bed at 3 a.m. with jet lag and trying to get to sleep. And I'm just like staring at my ceiling. And I had this weird moment where I was like, most people I know in the UK right now are asleep. Like most shops that I could go to are probably closed right now. Like there's not really much going on. But God's still like completely present, and I can speak to him right now and know that he's listening even at 3 a.m., like that's as much good. As he is in the middle of the day. And just kind of learning to be aware of God's presence in every moment and realizing like I can actually, like the Bible talks about pray without ceasing. I think that's kind of part of what that means, is like actually just recognizing that he's there and like having that conscious connection with him at all times of the day, like not just in your set out like quiet time with Jesus, but
that's
like
good, man. No, that's really good. I guess I've never had that thought, you know, like I don't travel as much as I would love to. And I suppose I haven't caught myself in those moments where I'm just like been all over the place and you're just like, oh my gosh, and you can't sleep. I sleep pretty well. I don't really ever have a hard time falling asleep. But wow, that's a really cool concept, man. Just really understanding the magnitude of who God is and him not being constructed to time or sleep. Or the physical things that we gotta struggle with as humans.
Yeah, and it's even like the way that God speaks to us. I think that's one of the big things that I've been learning through this process. Is like, in some ways, I'd kind of boxed God into like he speaks to me through the Bible or like worship songs or like when I have my quiet time.
Here are your options, Lord.
And that I have to like carve out that time and like make it a really specific thing, but. I was reading through Psalm 19, I think it is, which is actually, there's a snippet of that on the cover art when it comes out, but it talks about the heavens declare the glory of God, and it talks about like day unto day and night unto night, lots of speech and pours forth knowledge. And it's, I was kind of like reading it, there's like 6 verses where David's just like talking about the sky and talking about the fact that like the sun rises and sets and like all this stuff. And I was like, it's kind of strange that he's just spending so much time talking about the sky and like this here in scripture. And I started to realize like he's basically talking about God's like masterpiece on display, basically, of like the sky and the way that we see even like light changing and the different seasons and times and all that kind of stuff. It's like literally God showing his work and like his glory and splendor like every single day and every moment. And like you can recognize that God's there just by looking around and like seeing his creation. I think that's probably why, well, one of the reasons why like every culture throughout history has had some kind of idea of God. And like, even if they haven't landed at the same conclusion, it's been like, you kind of look around and you're just like, there's got to be something there.
There's got to be, right? Absolutely. Yeah. Hey, I actually pulled up the Psalms 19. I'll just read like 6 verses out of there because it's so good. And so quick caveat. In this, you inspired me to also create something similar to a seasonal project. So I dropped a beat tape for the autumn. It's called Autumn Tape. And I'll be dropping a winter tape, a spring tape, and a summer tape. So I don't know how long I'll keep going this, but I wanted to do like an album for each season. And it being very much so like, not just an instrumental beats, but also beats with some lyrics and stuff. And the inspiration for this season has been to use strictly scripture for lyrics.
That's cool.
And I've gone through this scripture. So I'll make a beat and I'll just keep reading the word until I find something. I'm like, oh, this will be good. And I remember reading this this part. So here it goes, guys. Psalms 19, verse 1 through 6. The heavens declare the glory of God. Wow. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. And night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth and their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun. It's like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heaven and it makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth. Man, what a beast of a writer. That's beautiful. Think about this. Yeah. Psalms is like the biggest recorded songbook ever. Like I haven't read or heard anything like this, you know. For someone like David to set the tone for creatives, you know, when people are like, oh man, you know, I'm not sure what to write, go to Psalms. I mean it's like loaded, you know what I'm saying? So I'm really excited to hear the whole project you've been working on, because that's really encouraging to hear how God's been just kind of stretching you as an artist, where to me that speaks like the stretching never ends. Mm. You know what I'm saying? The learning never ends. It's almost this constant need to rely on the Father to bring you deeper into what he's called you to do.
Yeah.
Praise God.
True. I love that there's like, and that's one of my favorite things actually about singing scriptures, and like, I go to the Psalms a lot for like lyrics inspiration and like,
as
probably anyone will know that's listened to my music. Especially
I was like going to say,
Psalms.
I'm like, yeah, that sounds pretty accurate.
But yeah, I just love that there's so much in them. Like you're saying, like even old songs that are written based on certain Psalms, like I'll hear like someone preach on that Psalm later and like pull something out that I never realized. And I'd be like, oh yeah, I never even knew that was about that. And I've already written a song about it, but never thought about it that way.
Yeah.
I think when I just write my own lyrics, like it means what it means at that time, and that's pretty much it. But like every time I write from the Psalms, it's just like I'm always seeing new meanings in the same song, even though it's like the same thing being sung.
That's good, man. That's good. Yesterday I was at work and my apprentice was listening to, so if he's not listening to the word, he's listening to preaching. And I mean, all day. I don't know how this guy does it. It's awesome. I did ask him the other day, though. I'm like, bro, do you ever like just take time to just chew on what you heard? You know, like, I don't know how you just keep pounding this stuff in your head. But anyway, have you heard of a man named, I want to say this is his name, Curry Blake?
No, I'm not.
I know his first name's Curry. I may be botching it. I think it's Curry Blake. But anyway, this guy was talking about when reading scripture, to read it using different words for emphasis. And so let's just say I'll take the verse one from what I was just reading. Instead of like reading it one way, saying the heavens declare the glory of God, and then the heavens declare the glory of God, and then the heavens declare the glory of God, you know?
Yeah.
And he was saying how if you read it with different emphasis in different areas, how much closer you can get to finding out what was the, how was whoever, let's say Paul or Moses or whoever was writing, what was their, what did they want you to come across the most in that passage, you know? And I was like, wow, I've never ever heard it that way. And so I'm excited to try that. So for you guys listening, when you read scripture, reading out loud one is massively, massively important, because you're not only breathing this stuff into your spirit, but you're hearing it. And when you speak it out loud and you hear it, not only are you that much more able to remember it, but also you're speaking life over yourself. And that's something that we all need as Christians. I just wanted to add that real quick. Like, it was super cool. I've never heard of it being done that way. So I'm stoked to try this new adventure of reading scripture. Has there been
something?
Go ahead.
That's something my dad told me as well. I don't know if he heard the same sermon or something.
No kidding. Wow.
Something that used to teach us as a technique. Like, I've tried it out a few times. It's really cool.
I'm behind, man. I'm behind. So what, is there any maybe in the last, let's say, I don't know. I know this project's been time consuming on anything probably, but let's say in the last few days or last week or so, what has been something awesome God's been doing through you, whether, you know, divine appointments or seeing something miraculous happen, being part of something, just to encourage the body of Christ? Because, and the reason I ask this is this: when we claim to live a life with Christ, it's a constant daily, like there's every day something's happening. Every day there should be something happening. When we submit to God, God will open up doors. God will create things for us to be able to do. And so every time I ask this question, I hope you guys listening are, you know, ask this question for yourself too. What has God been doing through me? Like, is God doing anything through me? Am I submitting to God's leadership throughout my day? Am I seeing the opportunity to either share the gospel, pray for people, you know, bless people, what encourage them, whatever it might be? Do I do these things? So yeah, I just want to see what, you know, what has maybe been a thing or a few things that has happened recently that has been really encouraging or exciting for you.
Yeah. Well, I think for me, it's kind of weird in a sense, but like, I feel like some of our mission field is like online.
Amen.
It's like a lot of the time, I think we probably reach more people through our music and videos and all that stuff through the internet than we do face to face. And sometimes we get a chance to meet these people face to face, which is great. But yeah, I've just been really blown away even by like emails in the past week of just some like people going through some pretty crazy stuff that I won't share in detail because they didn't really give permission. like just being able to hear that a song that you wrote like years ago is actually like God's spoken through it to a person in a specific situation and like helped them out or something. Or that just kind of like blows me away every time I hear it. So even having a chance like this week, just speaking with people over email about like lyrics that have been written years ago that have like brought up all these questions in them and they're asking certain things. And like, just like, it's such a crazy conversation starter to actually like talk about Jesus and do that kind of stuff. So,
wow.
Yeah, it's been kind of crazy, but I think a lot of it, like, it's just been a very, especially recently with like the beat tape and everything, it's just been God really just unveiling a lot of who he is again to me. And like that very personal journey of just like growing more to discover more of who he is. And like you say about the Psalms, like it's completely endless. Like you'll never reach the end of knowing who God is. And like, there's always more to find out. So.
That's good. So would you say recently, and I think we definitely go through stages in this as believers, or as many people, seasons, we go through seasons. And would you say you went through a season of like finding out who God is and then going and, you know, writing about that experience and then entering a season of, oh, I got to tell people about this or people got to know about this and da, 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 da. And then you're like, oh man, I got to like, I almost, and I guess I'm speaking out of my experience where you find out more about the Lord and then you're like, oh, I got to tell people. And then almost somehow the search to be closer with the Lord kind of somehow falls out. Like, like, I don't want to say it goes away, but there's like a new, like your drive is after something different rather than just like continuing to get to know God. And I don't know if God designed it that way. maybe it's just my error. But, you know, within especially being an artist and writing and making songs and bringing people in on your spiritual journey, which a lot of people don't get, you know what I'm saying? Like they benefit from it and they're blessed by it. But a lot of people who don't write music don't get like, hey, I'm bringing this very vulnerable, position in my spiritual life, bringing it out to the world so you guys can not only experience what I've experienced, but hopefully bring you closer to God, right? But there's like a, it's like you get pulled in different ways all the time with like, oh, now I got to be in a season of getting closer with the Lord. I've experienced that recently, like where I'm just like, man, I just need to be with God. Like one thing is telling people about the Lord, ministering to people, evangelizing, you know, do, like for you example, going on tour and doing all this stuff. Like That's yeah. ministry. You know, it's very draining. It's very energy, like it just sucks yeah. energy out of you. Yes, the Lord, you know, sustains us, but it is physically exhausting. So would you say, because you were just on tour for what, all of summer?
Yeah, well, yeah, we do it in like 3 week chunks, but we did do yeah. quite a lot over summer, yeah.
Yeah, so you, I mean, yeah, because you guys were in the States and running around mm-hmm. and doing all this stuff. So would you say, like, when you go back home, is it like time of like, okay, I just need to be with
yeah, with God? No, literally. Cool. Yeah, cool. I find it, I'm a very kind of, I'd say I'm an introvert probably, but like,
no.
I'm most happy like behind a computer, like just being at home, creating, cool. like being in that kind of like,
for sure,
space of just like being creative. And then the live side of stuff and like having to tour and do all that has been like a real journey for me. And even, I think ever since being a kid, probably like I'm the youngest in quite a big family. And so mm. I've kind of been used to just being the kid that just quietly plays in the corner and like listens, and I like don't necessarily enjoy having attention and that kind of stuff. So
my wife, I feel like God's kind of so that way, so I get it.
Yeah, but I feel like God's sort of probably purposely put me in positions where I'm kind of thrust into a very public place, mm-hmm. or like having Absolutely. To like be on a stage and do that kind of stuff. And I found it, I'm kind of learning how to do both at the same time, like the whole John 15 thing of like abiding in the vine and like you bear fruit out of abiding in Jesus. And like mm-hmm. even when you go on tour, you've not like left spending time with Jesus. Like you try and find ways to abide while you're on the road. And like it's kind of learning to keep that rhythm of always having connection with Jesus and always being close to him and just like having that fellowship, but also mm-hmm. ministering out of that at the same time. But I think it does very easily get to like an either or thing where it's like, now is my quiet time where I just like sit and grow, and now is my time to go out. And I think that's not wrong. Like there are seasons to ministry, especially. And yeah, I pretty much every time I come back from tour, I just like sleep for 2 days straight and I'm just like exhausted. And I think just, yeah, I think emotionally and physically, just there's a lot that it takes out of you to
sure.
go and like do that every day.
Absolutely.
But I think we're slowly finding a better rhythm. Like a while back, it became a bit of a pressure situation where, cause like, especially in the band, we've all come from like small churches and, like we've never, no one's ever like taught us how to perform in like probably a nice way, but, we would play band sets and everyone would just like look at their shoes and, like not really be very engaging. So we had a lot of people come around us and try and give input on that. And like, maybe you guys should do more of this.
So cause like, I'd say you guys are all quite quiet, right? Like all of you guys are quite like reserved and no one's like this, like overly like huge personality. Like all of you guys match. It's really cool. So I could totally, I could imagine what you're saying as I had the opportunity to see you guys. I mean, I feel when I saw you perform, it was the fruit of having been already like, sculpted into a, I don't want to say professional band, but like you guys, not that you guys weren't professional, but like having a better idea of how we can serve God, even through performance, that way people are that much more engaged when you're engaging them as well.
Yeah.
That's good, man.
But yeah. I think just somewhere along that journey, it became the wrong kind of pressure though. And we like had that like mindset all the time of like, oh, we need to do this or need to be something that isn't who we are basically. And try and change the way that we perform because that's the way you're supposed to do it and all this kind of stuff. But that became super tiring. And I used to find like just touring and trying to be someone that I'm not on stage that like it's just, you can't sustain that.
So it's even possible for Christians.
Oh yeah.
Cause you hear this in the world, right? You hear this in like these artists, like, oh, it's just not me. Da, 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 da. Uh-huh. But you can, it's for everyone. Anyone can get stuck into that. Wow.
Totally. Yeah. But I think we've like come through the other side of that to an extent, like still always a battle and struggle for stuff. But
yeah.
I feel like we've found more of a place to like be comfortable with who we are. and still be engaging. Like some of that is bringing in like the visual element to what we do now, because that's just a big part of what I've always loved, is like creating visuals. And so we kind of bring that into a Rivers and Robots set now, where we have like the live projection and all that kind of stuff. And that kind of like becomes more the visual engaging element that is still really worshipful and still very much who we are, rather than
awesome
watching us jump around and do backflips, which none of us can do.
That's good. So you found a balance.
Yeah, I think so. Wow. And even like the last tour we did, like from this Discovery album, we put a lot more like visual emphasis on, and we even brought our own sound guy, so we had the same tech and everything every night. And
wow.
That was one of the first tours we did, like UK and Europe for 2 weeks, and it's one of the first times I've finished feeling like I could do that longer. Like,
very cool.
Found like a happy balance in there.
Praise God.
Yeah, just like actually getting time to spend time with Jesus on the road as well, which has been like super helpful. So, yeah.
So for musicians and artists who hope to, you know, do what you're doing and go on tour and things like that, would there be anything that you'd like to maybe challenge or encourage them to work on maybe prior to God opening those doors? Because I think that's something any artist who has the dreams of performing is like, oh man, I can't wait to go on tour. Oh, I can't wait to do this. I can't wait to do this. But tour is like, it's an animal of its own. Like, it's no joke, you know, like, I've never dreamed that I would go on tour with like Montel, for example, and just be able to support, you know, playing drums and stuff. But I was only there for like 5 shows. I'm just like, man, this is exhausting. How do people do this for like 3-4 months straight? Like, this is crazy. Yeah. So for people who have yet to taste that, what would be something you'd love to like challenge them with or encourage them with to say, hey, work on this before that happens, because this could be something very detrimental to maybe your faith, your relationships, your time, whatever.
I think I would say like, don't despise like the small, like I guess the Bible says they have small beginnings, right? Like I think a lot of people want to rush into some of that stuff and like want to get straight from like, okay, I've written songs, I need to go and perform now, like I want to go like get straight up and start touring and it needs to be a big thing. But like, I mean, for us, it took a long time to get to the point where now Rivers and Robots is going, it'll be 10 years next year. And it's kind of crazy. But the first few albums, like even I remember the second album I made, I sold one copy on release day. And I sold that to the guy that sits next to me at my office. So it was like, just wanted to like buy a CD to make me feel happy.
Wow.
So there was no like quick, massive success or anything like that.
Yeah.
And I'm actually really thankful that it was that way, because I think if we'd have just been thrown straight in the deep end of touring and like having a lot of attention around it, like I think it would have probably damaged a lot of the purity of what it was. I think you really have to protect that when it becomes something that's more public and more seen. And a lot of it's about just developing the right character for it. Like I was with a friend of mine, Jay Thomas, who was doing a Q&A recently, talking about this, even in like a worship context in church, is like, when you're looking for the people to come up and lead and like be a kind of visible person in ministry in that way, like you're looking for excellence in them. And that's like excellence referring to their character, not just like skillfulness. And it's like a lot of people think excellence is just you're good at what you do, but you're saying like every time excellence is mentioned in the Bible, it's actually about the person's character. Like Daniel was able to interpret dreams because it was a person of excellence, as in like he served and he was faithful to God. And like he was saying that excellence will drive a person to skillfulness. Like if you have excellent character, you'll want to be good at what you do when you have position.
That's good.
But if it's just skillfulness, that won't drive you to excellence of character. So like if it's just I have talent and good songs, but you don't have that depth of like the character to actually handle it, then
it's not the right formula.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good, man.
But yeah, it's a challenge. And I'm always finding like right now I feel very much like we're in a natural break at the moment anyway, just because our drummer's back in Malaysia at the moment. And
oh, that's right.
We're going to be writing some new stuff. And it's kind of a good time to just be like, okay, let's actually just get back to secret place, like spending time with Jesus. I think there has to be a season of that. I like, even touring, we don't go too heavy. Like 3 weeks is about our limit for how long we'll do in one go.
Wow.
But yeah, I don't know how bands do like 3 months in a row. That's just not us.
And I think with, this is think, I don't like know about this, but with bands who do like hugely long tours, maybe there comes a point where there's so much emphasis on production and all that stuff, and it costs money, right?
Yeah.
And for you to afford all these things, you need to play a lot of shows. And so when people are like, oh, we want to do this big, big thing, it's like, all right, well, then you're going to have to do 30 shows, you know?
Yeah.
And it's very strenuous, like you're saying. That's interesting.
Yeah, it's definitely a real thing, because a lot of the expense is like just actually getting a tour up and running and like the basic stuff that you need. And then the more shows you do, the more cost effective it becomes. But we've like had that conversation with people as well, and even like booking agents, and like, well, if you did a couple of extra weeks, like you could make this work out better. But we're like, we could, but we'd also be burnt out. So
yeah.
I think I'd rather take that hit and still be,
because you don't want to cheat. You don't want to cheat the fans, right? You don't want to cheat the fans of a pure experience where you know you're doing it because you still have it in you, right? You don't want to just force it, because then it's not the same. It's not the same. That's good, man. Wow. So it's been such a privilege to talk with so many creatives, especially musicians that I believe are playing a massive role in leading this new generation of Christian artists, these indie artists that are just popping up everywhere, which is so cool and encouraging. I see you and a plethora of other people that I've been on this podcast as people who are very much so at the center of this undrawn circle of artists that God's like orchestrated to bring new life into worship music.
Yeah.
And I'm so grateful because I can't, like, I don't want to say I can't, but I can't. What's a different word? I'm just going to stick with can't. I can't stomach your, you know, traditional like worship that's been played for the last 30 years, you know, like for someone who played drums on the worship team since about age 4 or 5.
Yeah.
I just can't do the, you know, casting crowns, Hillsong types. I just can't do it, bro. Like, it doesn't, maybe that's something God needs to work in me, but since it's been so, I've heard it so many times, I've sang it so many times, that there isn't new life in it anymore.
Sure.
Not to say those songs don't do something for other people, but for someone who has been overly saturated in it, and I think this could happen for anyone, you get burnt out, you know, and for being in there since like very, very young child, now growing up, I'm just like, man, I just need something different. And so finding, you know, coming across the Good Christian Music blog, which is an awesome. I mean, you were very much so at the beginning of that as well, right? Having gotten to Stephen, actually planning on doing a podcast with Stephen, the guy who runs Good Christian Music blog. So guys, stay tuned for that. But within all this stuff, man, it's just been so encouraging and refreshing to see that there is no box around worship music, you know, like even looking at the word worship, it does not just pertain to song. It doesn't pertain to just, it has to be music. It's a life, it's a living sacrifice unto the Lord. That is good, perfect, pleasing worship to the Lord. Like, wow, how amazing is that, you know? And so whatever we do that is pleasing to the Lord, that's worship. And so whether you're creating art, whether you're creating music, whether you're creating visuals, whatever it might be, building things, whatever, like it's pleasing to God. And I think now we're at this point of finally stepping into that. And and it's so dope to see that. And I believe a major reason why God has kept this back, I don't know if God's kept it, but maybe God has kept it back. Like not revealed what's possible to the community of Christians. I mean, you maybe have a different thought. Share your thoughts on me with this. Share your thoughts on this with me. I believe we're living in end times now. And scripture talks about the whole world coming to know about Christ prior to his return. The way we're creating now, the way things are being made, to the capacity of what's being made, there's no way in the next 5 to 10 years that the whole world won't hear about Jesus because of the art that's being made. And so since we're pushing all these boundaries and creating new caveats of sound and doing things that haven't been done before, it's paving the road for Christ's return. And I believe we're going to come to a point where our faith won't be welcomed here as we're promised persecution. So we're almost in this like very fruitful harvest filled season of like, wow, this music's going this and people are able to go on tour and all this stuff and praise God. But I believe there is coming a point where we won't be able to do that anymore. So we got to like go as hard as we can until it's hindered by the enemy, because obviously the enemy's not happy that this stuff is happening. There's such a success going on. And so, yeah, so within that, like, what are your thoughts on this, where God is now expounding this new possibility for artists, and I see you in it, I see so many other people in it. Where's your heart in the midst of that?
Yeah, you're speaking my language now. I remember first starting out, whenever it was, 9, 10 years ago, and like I didn't know if there would be any kind of people that actually like what I was doing. Because I was literally just writing music that came naturally to me. And I was like, I know that I'm called to worship. And I actually felt like the reason that I do music and release stuff online is that I feel called as a messenger. And like, almost like a John the Baptist type model of like the way that he pointed people to Jesus with his ministry and was kind of like radical and different, but like his whole ministry was just like getting people to look at Jesus and preparing people for that, and preparing the church for that as well, I guess. But I feel like that's kind of what's happening now as well, is like God's raising up those kind of like John the Baptist type people. A lot of them are artists, I think, and creative people, and using people as his messengers to say, like, to reveal who he is, not just to the world in like evangelism, but also to the church and like getting the church ready for what's coming. And I think a lot of the time God uses like that kind of like prophetic people in ways of like getting a message out wider. And I think musicians are a very kind of like prophetic, what's the word?
Servants, people,
disciples. Yeah, things that you can do. I think even from 9 years ago to now, like there's so many more people that I know are doing this than I knew were doing it back then. I was like just making music in my bedroom thinking, at least I'll listen to it in the car because it's music that I like. And it's
for sure.
And then suddenly I'm like, oh, there's like 100 other artists that are writing stuff like this, and it's like all unique and different. And I think the key to it really is just like being your unique self. And I think before there's been a lot of maybe like comparison or like looking at other artists and thinking, oh, Christian music has to sound like this, or worship has to sound like this, because this
like
is what
duplication, like trying to make the same thing.
And I think now there's just a freedom to realize like you can actually just write your own style and your own sound, and let there be like a diversity of expression. And I think we're probably moving away from a time where there'll be like one big artist, or like, because I feel like it has been that in the church for a while. It's like we all listen to this now, and now we all listen to this artist. I think now it's a lot of smaller artists, and it's a lot more diverse. It's a lot more interesting, and partly through to like streaming services and the web, and just
praise the Lord.
We don't have to wait for the radios or whatever to play us what the next worship sound is. Yeah, I think it's a really exciting time where like everyone's voice can be heard and everyone's like unique creativity can be heard. And it's a really fun time for music, definitely. And I think, like say, like it's a pretty crucial time for the church. I think there is a real like window of opportunity right now to just start releasing this stuff. And but yeah, it comes from like the first thing of actually just knowing Jesus first, though, like not running into releasing the music because it's a good time to do it, but like let it come out of actually engaging with Jesus and letting him reveal stuff to you. Like, especially if you want to have that like messenger call in, you can't go and do that without a message.
And then the result won't be the same, right? Like, and I've, and I've felt this in myself where, you know, I've had seasons where I'm creating definitely with the Lord, right? And then he puts other things on my heart. So I start writing about this and this.
Yeah.
And like in this last beat tape I dropped, I found myself like inspired to create, but I can't say I was like consciously creating with the Father, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm just like, oh, what am I doing? Like, not to say the project's bad. It's just like, excuse me, it doesn't have the life that I hope it had, you know? I'm like, man, how can I do this now? How can I, how can I do the same thing, but spirit breathed, you know? That's why the whole idea was using scripture and stuff came into context as well. But yeah, man, it's like, as an artist, you create not only for you to be satisfied with it, but also for it to bless people, right? But if it is that you are trying to fulfill what God's put on your life, you're trying to do it without him. One, he can't bless it, right? Because it's not of him. And then second, the result won't be anywhere the same. And I was talking to Mark Barlow, which I'm presuming you've gotten to know, from Isla Vista, and he, really awesome dude. And he he shared with two episodes before this, he was sharing how he didn't bother like promoting his music. He's just like, you know, God, I'm just gonna trust you with this. You know, I trust that you be my promoter, you know, because I want to put you first in this. So I believe you're going to sustain this. And then you look at like how many people listen to his music. I'm just like, whoa, dude, this is crazy. I'm like, really? No, like playlists, submissions, any stuff like that. Nah, man, I just trust God. I'm just like, wow. And having that faith, that level of faith in God, you've put this on my heart to create. This is what you are leading me to do. I believe you'll sustain it if this is what you want, you know. And having that faith in the Lord's provision, even within data, even within having streams and stuff, which I know no matter how much we're like, oh, I don't really care about that. We all care about that. So, all right, how many people are blessed by my music? You know, is this work doing anything for anyone? You know, because aside you enjoying it, you hope to have other people enjoy it.
No, there's definitely a truth in that. Like, I always find people saying like, oh, they don't mind if like nobody hears the music or any of that kind of stuff. And I'm like, well, if you've recorded an album, you're probably hoping that people hear it.
Yeah, yeah.
You already know the song. You
put in like 100 hours, you don't want people to listen to it? Yeah. Come on, get out of here.
Might as well let people listen to it.
So in the next few weeks, I mean, you're home now, you're in the recluse state where you just want to be home and be in the studio. And now you just finished up with the album, with the mixing and the mastering and all that stuff. What it's like, I don't want to say goals. What are your plans? What are your plans for the next few weeks and just what you feel God's put on your heart to accomplish and or maybe just rest in whatever?
Yeah, it definitely feels like more of a rest-in season. Especially coming out the beat tape recording, because that was just like a mammoth project. But yeah, I've just been really enjoying like simplicity, and I'm actually trying to do some real basic stuff right now of like getting good habits in place. I've just been reading a book all about that, like Atomic Habits, which is really good. But yeah, I find as a creative person, I'm not very good at routine. Like, if I was to make one of those, like, here's my daily routine videos, it'd be like the least inspiring thing. But I'm just trying to like actually get healthy things in place and like super basic stuff, like reading the Bible and prayer and like actually having a rhythm of that and not just being like sporadic, like I'll do this now. and trying to just like
flirt. There is fruit in having a schedule, right? There is fruit totally. In that. That's good.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I'm just enjoying like the simplicity of being at home and just like soaking in what God's doing. And one of the cool things going on right now is we have a house of prayer here in Manchester. And it's kind of, it's pretty small. Like we have maybe 20, 30 people come. Cool. And we just do these like 2-hour sets of singing through scriptures. And like, it's super fun. That's where a lot of our songs come from. But we have
to so just like play music and then like randomly sing any scripture.
Yeah. So we kind of plan which ones we're going to do.
Okay.
But yeah, we'll do basically lead a bit of worship, open a psalm or a set kind of thing. And then we have like a team of singers and we all just like sing through a psalm and do like spontaneous songs around it.
That's really cool. I like
and
that.
And then we'll pray for the city and the nation as well, just like through music. And it's a really like spontaneous, but kind of structured at the same time. And it's really fun.
Very cool.
Yeah, we just got a new building for that. That's just been built and we're kind of like, a bunch of new worship leaders just joined the team, so we're kind of like doing a lot of stuff there. But
saturating the nice building with worship, praise God.
Yeah, literally. It's been cool just to be like have something local to like focus on for a while rather than like traveling a lot. It's kind of just like let's build what's happening here in Manchester. And
because that is also our call, right? To
totally
serve our community, the one that we're
in.
That's good, man.
Yeah.
Wow, I'm very inspired to try something like that. I gotta get some of my musician buddies together and sing through the Psalms. I like that, man.
It's literally how we wrote most Rivers and Robots songs, I think. I've always got like my phone on my keyboard and we start singing like a good chorus. I'm like, I'll just quickly record this.
You're like, oh, this is my jam right here. Wow. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, I've been very encouraged with this, man. Thank you for just your heart and sharing what God's been doing. And I believe that this is just the beginning. And I believe that there's so many more things that you have yet to experience that God is going to just blow you away with. My encouragement is just to continue what you're doing, man. I definitely hear his heart and what you say you're definitely on the right path. You know, the journey is clear and we obviously know what we're called to strive for. But it does take diligence. Yeah. It takes excellence. Right. And I think the pursuit of creating structure will massively help what you're trying to do. Cause I know for myself, like if I don't create, hey, I need to get this done, it's really easy to come, oh, you know what? I mean, I'll just do it later. Oh, just, and it's like days go by and you're like, man, I was supposed to do this, you know? So I just want to encourage you, bro. I'm really excited for what's happening and what's going to come and God's just going to keep opening doors. Just remain faithful to the things he's already showing you, you know? Praise God.
Yeah.
Praise God.
No, thank you, man. Appreciate it.
So, for people who have yet to hear some of your music, you're going to be dropping what, a single or two singles every how many weeks?
I've got, the full beat tape 24 is coming out on the 24th of January next year.
Okay.
And I'll be doing two songs every week, roughly. I'm going to have a little break over Christmas.
Okay.
And then it'll be three songs a week in January. a lot of songs will be coming out, basically.
And then on the 24th, okay, so as a fellow producer, maybe I'll pick your brain on this. What platform do you use to release music? DistroKid?
DistroKid.
Okay, cool. So when you upload these singles, right, are you using the same artwork for each single?
No, I'm using separate artwork. But
okay, so when you same, upload, like, when you upload... Okay. So when you upload, let's say, a song now and you have the singles out now, on the 24th, when you want to upload everything to be in the same album, do you have to not necessarily upload, but I see there's an option that clicks previously released. Do you click on that or do you re-upload the song and it catches itself somewhere in the sphere of the internet
and
syncs itself in there?
Yeah, I don't do previously released, but I use the same exact title and the same ISRC like unique code. So the plan is once all the single come out and the full album's out, hopefully it should sync as being like the same tracks, and then I'll remove the singles and it'll just be the album.
So would you say the data goes away?
It's supposed to stay.
It shouldn't, right?
Yeah. If it works right. Yeah.
And then we'll see. if you use different artwork and variations of the artwork, if someone listens to the whole album, will the album be the artwork of the album? And then the singles that were previously released, when they listen to the album, will that artwork still stay what it was previously? Or will it be now all under this one big... And I'm only asking this because I need to do this for my next album. And I figured I'd ask someone who's been doing this longer than I have.
Sure. Yeah, I think it will switch to the album, especially if you take down the singles afterwards. Like they say on the website, like they can't promise that'll happen and they'll count all the streams, but I'm gonna release the album, give it a couple of weeks just to check it has synced, and then if it works, I'll take the singles down.
Okay, dope. I gotta do some more reading, but hopefully, because I want the singles I release, I want those images to stay.
Okay.
And then the rest of the album have the album artwork, but then the artwork of the album be the album artwork.
Yeah.
So sorry for you listening who don't release music. You guys are like, what are you talking about? This while I have Jonathan here, so we're geeking out. We're geeking out on the technicalities. Because there really is so much technicality with them releasing music. Like people are like, oh yeah, you just press some buttons and you're done. No, there's so much detail. Another question. Do you copyright all your projects?
Yes.
Cool. And that's before you release them?
Well, it's supposed to be. Sometimes I forget.
I tend to like, oh, I didn't copyright any of those. I got to go back. Okay. So you do that. So you do encourage fellow artists to make sure that they claim.
Yes. Make sure you're registered. I don't know if it's the same in the States, but we have like PRS.
I think we got a US government one. It's only like $50 or something. You could like register a gang of music under one. Mm-hmm. Cool. All right. Enough geeking out and nerding stuff. at the end of each episode, I tend to ask the guests to pray for the listeners. Is that something you'd be up for, bro?
Just of course,
bless them, whatever the Lord leads to have you pray over them, and I'll bless you, and then I'll outro out, and we can continue with the day.
Sounds good.
Go ahead, bro.
Yeah. All right, Father, I just thank you for everyone that's listening to this podcast right now, Lord, wherever they are, whoever they are. I just pray right now, Lord, that you'd speak to them, that you'd be reaching out to them and just revealing more of yourself. And Holy Spirit, we just thank you for the way that you reveal Jesus, that you reveal the Father to us. And we just pray for more of that, Lord. We just pray for that spirit of wisdom and revelation, Lord, that you give us open ears, open eyes, that we want to see new things of who you are and hear your voice. And I just pray you'd make us people that know you, Lord, that are close to you. And for the artists out there and the creators and the people that are creating all this content, Lord, we just pray that it comes out of that place of knowing you, of abiding in you, and not trying to do anything outside of that place, Lord. And we just pray you keep us in intimacy with you, keep us in those close moments. And we just pray that every time we read your word and speak to you, Lord, it just comes alive. And we just see the truth of who you are, and you open our eyes in that, Lord. We just pray that everything that we get released, Lord, we want it to be your words. We want it to be your things that are touching people and speaking truth of who you are to the world, Lord. And we just thank you for this time. Thank you for this opportunity we have to do that. And in Jesus' name.
Amen. Yes, Father. And I also lift up Jonathan as he is now in a season of rest. God, I just ask that you sustain him and give him the energy he needs to kind of just jump back into whatever you are calling him to spend his time on, obviously outside of strictly spending time with you for now. I thank you for just the doors you've been opening, just the music and the art and the creative juices that you've been pouring into him that have been bringing forth so much fruit. I thank you in advance for the amazing things that will take place, for keeping him as trials come about, as temptations come. You continue to keep him grounded in you, Lord. Send more and more people around him to help him grow deeper and deeper in a relationship with you, just so that he can bless the community as well as the people online and everyone that has encountered him to a greater scale. I thank you for the time that you've given us, Lord, and we just praise you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Hey guys, thanks so much for listening. If you would like to check out some of Jonathan's music, I will drop a link at the bottom of this episode. Instagram would be What is it, bro?
It's Jay Ogden UK.
Jay Ogden UK. I will also link that. So I'll link his IG as well as, do you have in your bio, do you have like a link to like all your music and stuff?
Yeah, my website's just jonathanogden.co.uk.
Maybe I'll just do that then. Cool. So I'll link those things at the bottom of the episode, guys. If you have been encouraged by any means whatsoever from this podcast in general, from this episode and or from previous episodes, please make sure to give a thumbs up, 5-star, give it a review on what you've been blessed by and or, what has been your favorite thing about this podcast. If you do feel led to sponsor this podcast financially, please pray about it. Make this be something that God is leading you to do. I'd be more than happy to continue to push this project into a greater scale, but this needs also the Lord's funding. So in the meantime, like I mentioned many times before, I'm more than happy to serve God with my time and do it to the best of my ability. But as you well know, for us to have things of excellence also takes funds as well. So if you feel called to do that, that would be awesome. Other than that, thank you for listening, guys. Very stoked. Thank you, Jonathan. I will talk to you soon, bro. And for the rest of you guys listening, God bless you. And we look forward to catching you on the next episode. All right. Enjoy Jesus. Peace.